Thanks very much.
You're welcome. Thank you. And I'll try to behave too while I'm in here.
That's all right. I suppose there are a lot of reasons why we come to church. But it's worship, isn't it? That's the main thing. We are here for God. So whether there's 100 or 1,000 or 10,000, we're here for God, right? Let's just keep praying. Lord God Almighty, Father in heaven, we are here for you. We do this for you. And so whether we sing and use such great songs to tell you how we feel about you, or we listen to your word, or be encouraged by some other components of worship and presentation, Lord, it's all for you, all for your glory, for our good, for our benefit, certainly. But you are so good to us, and we bless you with everything we say and do today. May everything we do and say be pleasing in your sight and produce good fruit as we go forward for your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. It seems like a long time ago for me that I was here as your transitional pastor, because so much has happened in these last couple of years. On the other hand, now that I'm here, it doesn't seem that long ago at all. And here I am back up front and really appreciating the opportunity to be here. There are seasons of our lives, and we've been in seasons, in various seasons in my ministry, and who knows? I'm waiting for the next call for another transitional ministry assignment somewhere in the country. Be glad for that. If it doesn't happen, I'm happy to be in Sioux Falls and to be a part of Mercy Church and to be with you. There is a verse in Scripture that keeps coming to my mind, and that's Philippians 3:12, where it says, I press on to take hold of all that Christ Jesus has taken hold of me, for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. That's why I press on. Forward, forward. That's the direction. It's always forward. It's never backward. And it's onward and upward. That's a phrase that I've used. I found myself using quite a bit. Onward and upward. And our son Scott, who is here with us today, was a great example of that to me just the other day. We had the privilege of watching him take off in an F-16. Dream come true of his life was to finally get up in one of those. It's part of his job with the Air Guard, but to see him actually onward and upward like they go so much, and you see them flying around town, and he was up there this week with one of those, and wow, I'm just so glad I got to see that. But that's a sermon illustration. I use my kids a lot as sermon illustrations over the years, and here he goes again. And you mentioned the word change today, Doug. One constant thing in life is change, isn't it? That's what life is like a lot. I just want to affirm the positive changes that I see and hear for you here at Mercy Church. I like the way the place looks and feels, and you being here, and you're going forward. So something a little different for a summertime fill-in before I get on to a more typical message, but partially a report on our whereabouts. Since wrapping up here at Mercy Church with that transition a couple years ago, I went back to Oregon for 12 months at Roseburg Alliance Church, and then another month at Green Community Church. And during that time, collective effort, we planted another Alliance Church in the same town, Journey of Roseburg. So when I went there, we had one Alliance Church, and we brought Green Community into the Alliance during that time, and then I went to serve them in their transition. So there was one, and now there are three Alliance Churches in that community, and God was on the move. And it was so fun to be part of that. And then I used my accumulated vacation time to be back here for the CNMA District Conference, which you hosted over at the Evangelical Free Church. Very glad to be there for that. And then I went back to Oregon to wrap up for my final month there. And then I went off to the Alliance Council in Ohio, Columbus, Ohio, in early June. And I want to take the liberty of showing you a video, a six-minute video of the highlights of that council, a brief report to give you an idea of where Paulette and I were, and enjoyed it immensely, a couple thousand, 3,000 other Alliance delegates from around the country and the world. Just to give you a little taste, a little flavor of where we were and this big family that we're a part of, I want you to look for the word forward as you see this video clip. All right.
Well, Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family, welcome to Council 2017, Columbus, Ohio. We've been preparing 2 years for your arrival.
We believe that God sings over us. We believe that God loves to hear us sing.
Stretch forth your hand and heal. Perform signs and wonders in the holy name of your servant Jesus. And the room in which we were meeting was shaken.
God is alive and active, and that he's longing to revive his church. It's his desire to see us made alive again by the Holy Spirit so that we can reach the world. It's all about the lost.
Many groups across the country are beginning to call out, church, we need you back. We're crying out for you to be back into the lives of people in our neighborhoods.
In times of crisis, it is imperative that the church respond with prayer.
Things can be absolutely out of control to the naked eye, and I can still have peace because my peace isn't in circumstances, my peace is in Him.
How many of you ever been taught something by a child? Right? It's so irritating, and they shouldn't be able to do that. Because we've got 24 hours in a year with kids, we better be doing our job well. It's about giving them tools to do life as a Christ follower in a messy world.
Domesticate the gospel is challenged by the Holy Spirit's call to move forward. The call of God for us as a movement is to be a Holy Spirit-led, Holy Spirit-sanctified, Holy Spirit-empowered movement. The call of God for us as a movement is to confess, oh Lord, no limits, no barriers. Where your Spirit sends us, we will go. And what your Spirit desires, we are open. Hallelujah.
The New Testament clearly describes a Spirit-directed mission. I feel that in the Alliance that I grew up in, there was an emphasis on certain aspects of the Holy Spirit, but we forgot, and we still tend to forget, that he only gave them power to do what he had directed them to do. It sounds like such a simple statement. Don't miss it. He only gave them power to do what he had directed them to do. He's in charge of the church. It's his church. It's his mission.
If you ask me the question, what is it that keeps me up at night? What's the thing that bothers me most in my soul? It's the idea that there are 500,000 people in my own backyard who are headed to a crisis eternity. If a church is going to be reaching lost people, then the people who are leading the church need to go first in reaching their own lost neighbor. God wants us to reach one more.
We believe that the gospel is for all people and certainly for people who are not qualified. God is doing something amazing among the church. And we feel like this is our call as the Alliance. There are many people in your churches, many people in your neighborhoods who are church planters. Our shift in the way we think must be accelerated so that the gospel can be incarnated.
Reminds family that stay faithful to this task of taking the gospel to the least reached peoples of the world. It doesn't have to be an either or. In Acts 1:8, there are no ors. When my Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll have the capacity to take my gospel to your town, Jerusalem, to your region, Judea, to Samaria, people who are close to you or not like you, and all the way to the ends of the earth. And. No ors. And so if you're writing an or into the text, you're not taking the text seriously, because you have enough capacity by the Spirit of God, as we bind together as a family, for us to do it all well.
Onward and upward, forward. Lots of great memories there. So glad to be part of that. So we got back here from that terrific experience for a couple weeks before going off again to see Tricia. So this is our son Scott and our daughter Tricia with us today. And she's over in the Czech Republic in Prague. And so we made this major trip and spent 2.5-3 weeks over there. And she's a great host and showed us around some other parts of Europe too. And I thought, well, while she's here for a couple minutes, come on up, Tricia, and part of the family. We're family, and so I just want to include you in what she's up to there in the Czech Republic. Which microphone should she use? This one right here?
That's fine.
Can I pop that out? Yes. Okay. And she has some pictures to show us too, right?
Yeah.
I'll trade places with you. All right, Trish, 2 minutes.
All right, so yes, I have been in Prague, Czech Republic, teaching at the Christian International School of Prague for the past 3 years. I'll be going back in August to start my fourth year already, and it's been amazing. I love it over there. It's challenging, but it's also very rewarding. So the first one is just showing Prague. It is, for us, the most beautiful city in the world. People love it. Every time they come back again. They can't get enough of Prague. So our school has only been open for about 13 years now. It started with 18 students, and next year we're gonna have over 160 students already. So it has been really growing, and it's just great to see that happening for our school. And our teachers, we have 7 countries represented for our teachers and 23 nations for our students. So it is very, very diverse. We're getting a lot of different religions coming into our school too. We've had an increase in Muslim students and Hindu students. We have a lot of Korean students coming in, but they're, for the most part, Christians to start with. But we have about 50-50 now who are Christians and non-Christians in our school. So it's a great ministry. We teach English, so that is a big draw. And we're also the cheaper school in Prague, so that's another big draw for students to attend. Along with teaching, I coach volleyball. Next year, I'll be coaching the high school and middle school as head coach. So it's been kind of a fun bonus to be doing that, along with teaching and the other responsibilities I have. 3 students that were a pretty big focus for me this year. Naman, he is from India. His family is Hindu, but he converted to Christianity this year and is graduating and going off to university in Australia. So prayers for him that people just really come alongside him and help him grow as he's going through everything totally different from his culture and his family now. Sasha was a new girl in my 8th grade class. She is Czech Israeli. She is already dealing with depression and suicide. So just really pray for her that she doesn't give in to those lies. And then Renat is from Ukraine. He likes to argue. He likes to try to find the faults in Christianity and with God. But he's still very open to discussion. He'll come into my class and just say, this is what happened in Bible. What does this mean? And I taught him once in biology last year, and he still comes in and wants to talk about Bible with me, so that's been great. So just prayer, really, for these 3 students. And then I had the opportunity, we do a lot of class trips. I went with the 11th graders to Normandy. So we were able to see Omaha Beach and just learn all that history again, see our cemetery over there, and just really get a feel of what happened in Europe during World War II and just how much it does affect France still and how much they really do appreciate America and everything the Allies did during that time. And our biggest graduating class, 15 students this year, it was really fun. I taught half of them, and they're going to be going off to 5 different countries, Germany, England, Czech Republic, Australia, and then coming back to the United States as well. So it's a big change for all of them. So again, it's the most beautiful city. We're always looking for teachers. We love it there, and it's just, it is a dark place that needs Jesus, and it's really changing though. They're opening up more to Christianity. They're recognizing Good Friday and Easter, which never happened before. So there is a lot of change, but it's still a very much atheist nation. Thanks.
Thanks, Tricia. And we were glad to be on the same flight, then coming back and have her around for a couple weeks. And we were in Huron, South Dakota, last weekend, Sunday, so she could give a presentation up there to the congregation. And next Sunday, we're going to be in Lincoln, Nebraska. Paulette's mom, as you know, passed away mid-April. And so we're having the memorial service for her now this coming weekend, Saturday, down in Lincoln, and our family will be gathering down there. And then I'm just waiting for my next call to another position, another transitional position somewhere. That's what I want to do. So whether in a country or a church or a family or a business, it's forward. And what do we need to do to go forward? We need to know who we are and know where we're going. So we're talking about identity and direction today, if we may. I do also want to really affirm how the vote turned out here at Mercy Church. I'm very happy for you. I really trust and pray that this will help unify the identity and the direction of Mercy Church. I really think it should help going forward. I'm reminded of another scripture, Amos 3:3. Whether this it's in the deliberations of a church, which group and which direction we're going to identify with and where we're going to go, or whether it's Paulette and I taking our daily walks together in the neighborhood here. We love to do that, but Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? So if she wants to go one way and I want to go another way, and say, well, which way do we go? And so it's follow her or follow me, you know, and can two walk together unless they're agreed? So there are directions for churches, and can we agree in which direction that is? There are directions for countries, for families, for businesses. Can we come to an agreement on which of all the good directions in the world that God would have us go, which mission is ours, which identity will be ours? Can we agree on that and go forward? And I believe that you are. Once upon a time, there was this great American explorer, frontier pioneer called Daniel Boone. I love Daniel Boone and his stories and getting out into what was the West then. But once upon a time, somebody asked him, Daniel, were you ever lost? And Boone said, well, I reckon no, but there was once that I was bewildered for 3 days. But he knew who he was, and he knew where he was going, and he could figure it out. Tricia has a great sense of direction around the streets and the sights of Prague. And I think you figured out she knows who she is and what God has called her to do and to be, and she knows what she's doing there. She knows where she's going. As we turn together or look at John chapter 15, a portion of scripture today, I believe that Jesus gives us in this passage an identity and a direction. Jesus gives this to us in John 15, and it's very simple. When he calls us friends, that's our identity. And when he says, get out there and love the world, love one another, he commands that. That's our direction. So our identity and our direction. We're friends of God, and as such we love. Let's look at John chapter 15, verses 9 through 14 for the first chunk, where it says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command." Jesus uses the word "my." He takes this very personal, and we belong to him very personally, but it's his love, my love, his joy, my joy, and his friends, my friends. There are lots of wow moments in Scripture, and I come across a couple of them here in verse 9. It says, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you." Wow. I can't imagine. As the Father loved Jesus, God the Father, God the Son, Jesus has taken that same love and loved us. To that degree, with that intensity, that amount, that weight, I'm staggered by that. He loves us that much. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him doesn't have to die for their own sins, but can have eternal life. Just trust Jesus. Believe in him. He loves us that much, that he'd be that merciful to us. So Jesus says, capture my love, receive my love, be forgiven by my love and my grace and my mercy. Receive Jesus, and then keep on going. Now remain in my love. Remain doesn't mean get stuck back here somewhere. But keep going in my love. Stay in my love. Abide in my love. The early part of John 15 was all about abiding in Jesus, living in Jesus, in his Spirit, having a home in him, dwelling in him, and him in us. That's the secret. This personal relationship that we have with Jesus. Now he's saying, do that, keep on doing that. Keep on remaining, verb tense, in my love. Abide in my love, stay in my love. Verse 10, a key to that is keeping his commands. There's no doubt that the role of discipleship and obedience is crucial to the growing Christian, to the ongoing Christian. How are we doing? Is Jesus Lord? Every day and every way, are we reporting for duty and say, yes, sir, what do you want me to do for you? How can I live? You are in charge, not just of the church, but of this life. And the church is comprised of people whose lives are controlled by the Spirit, by the Lordship of Christ. Keep my commands. Remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. That's what Jesus did. And again, I'm saying, wow. Now, this is not, you be good and I'll like you. This is, you want to stay with me. Remain in my love. And that's where it's really going to work out for you and your family and your church and your country. But you see, it's my love, Jesus said. My love. So we take from him his love. We already sang today, just trusting Jesus. We trust him, and we take from him his love. This is not my love. I'm not that loving. I'm not that good at this, caring for people in the other parts of the world. But Jesus is. That's his mission through us and through us together. My love. In verse 11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you. We take from him his love. We take from him his joy. Among other qualities, we take from him his peace and all the fruits of the Spirit. It's the character of Christ that we're allowing the Holy Spirit to reproduce in us. So it's his love, his joy, which is better than mine. You know, when we talk about personality, I like Christ's better than mine. And I want his. I want his character, his personality, the fruit of his Spirit in my life. So we pray for, and that's what we yield to. So this is incredible. I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. And again, it's not like you're going to get full someday and you'll have all the joy and all the love and all the Christ that you can ever possibly stand. No, this is an ongoing thing. Keep on being completed by the love and the joy of Christ and the character of Christ. Verse 12, he's telling his followers, let me say this again. Jesus repeats a lot. He says, I want you to get this. My command is this. It boils down to this. Love each other. Love each other, because if you do that, you'll be doing everything else that we really want to do as a church. Love each other as I have loved you. Wow. Look how much Jesus loved us. I'm supposed to do that too? You can. We can. Love each other as I have loved you. In fact, here's the example, verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. And we think that's about us. And it could be. We could learn how to be self-sacrificing. There could be some situations where we literally do lay down our lives for one another. Trisha was on the beach there at Omaha Beach, Normandy. And then the movie came to mind, Saving Private Ryan. We watched that again afterwards. And people laying down their lives and giving their lives so that somebody else can be safe and somebody else can be free. And we save people physically. Jesus came to save us. This is really about him. He laid down his life for us. What does that make him for us? Our friend. Our Savior, but our friend. There's no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends, he says. That's why I do this for you. I love you. I care about you. And you are my friends if you do what I command. Are you going my way? Are you going my direction? Are you following in my steps? Are you with me? He's the leader. Are we following when he says, come on, let's go? You're my friends then, and we're together. We're this platoon, we're this company, we're this band of brothers and sisters, and we're on a mission. That's Jesus as Lord. Verse 15, the next chunk. Wow, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. He says it again. Love each other. Got it? Love each other. Jesus is Lord. We're talking about Lord God Almighty, and we're just us. But he calls us friends, not just servants. A servant does not know his master's business. He's not in a need-to-know position. But I need to keep you informed of what's going on. Jesus is the greatest communicator ever, and he's inclusive, and he wants us in on what he's doing. What's his mission in the world? Come, follow me. I'll make you fishers of men, people, all over the world. Just follow me. Instead, I want you to be friends with me. Instead, I've called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I've made known to you. I would not be the one to accuse Jesus of being an exaggerator, but everything, oh, you know, everything that the Father has shown Jesus, oh, that's a lot of knowledge. It's way too big for the human cranial capacity that we all are encumbered with. But I guess this is just an indication of he's not holding anything back. There's nothing up his sleeve. He wants it all out there in writing, in the Word, and by his Spirit through us and to us. He wants us to know. He wants us to know everything. He's not keeping us in the dark at all. I've made it known to you. And let's get this straight. I chose you because I love you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you and anointed you for the task to which I've called you so that you might go, get out there, the great commission. We've got here again, in a nutshell, the great commandments and the great commission of the Lord. Love God, love one another, and get out there and love the world. Go, and bear fruit that will last, so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. We can often ask ourselves, well, what is this fruit? And I guess I get on the kick of thinking, well, I've got to be effective. I've got to produce numbers, results for the Lord. But is that exactly the kind of fruit that Jesus is talking about? No doubt, he wants to see us grow. He wants to see us multiply. He wants, numbers are important because every number is a person. So we're in a situation now, it's growth time for the church of God in the world, and the kingdom of God is advancing, and we're part of that. We are part of something huge here in our little room at Mercy Church, and it's so exhilarating to know that we're part of that. There is fruit in the world. God is on the move. But what kind of fruit is this really talking about on a personal level? I want you to bear fruit. Well, we just look back at the previous passage. My love, my joy, my peace, he said in John 14, I give to you. It's not like the world can give to you. Take it. Go with it. Run with it. And all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit that Galatians 5, 22 and 23 talks about, it's ours through Christ. Bear that kind of fruit. Character comes before effectiveness. And it doesn't have to be, they don't have to be enemies. But the character of Christ is the fruit that we want to bear. That's the kind of fruit that will last. And then results will come. Effectiveness will come. It's who before what. Our identity comes before our performance. Who are we in Christ? Who are we becoming? What kind of persons are we? What kind of Christ-like characters do we have? So our identity, we're friends. We're well-loved. We're fruitful. Who we are, who we are. And I'm reminded of the song by Isaac Houghton, "I am a friend of God. Who am I that you are mindful of me, that you hear me when I call? Is it true that you are thinking of me? How you love me. It's amazing. I am a friend of God," he repeats. "I am a friend of God. I am a friend of God. He calls me friend. God Almighty, Lord of glory, you have called me friend." Wow. And then there's another song, classic Southern gospel, David Phelps, great tenor. Whoa. His classic song, "End of the Beginning," talking about Jesus' gospel in a nutshell. "He was born of a virgin one holy night in the little town of Bethlehem. Angels gathered round him underneath the stars, singing praises to the great I Am. He walked on the water, healed the lame, and made the blind to see again. And for the first time here on earth, we learned that God could be a friend. And though he never ever did a single thing wrong, the angry crowd chose him. And then he walked down the road and died on the cross, and that was the end of the beginning." Oh, powerful. Who we are. Who we are in Christ. I'm also reminded of 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, where it says, "But you are a chosen people." He chose us, right? "I want you," he says. "A royal priesthood." We have direct access to this great God Almighty on the throne. We are all sons and daughters. We are the priesthood of all believers. And we're royalty. We get caught up with English royalty sometimes and all that they do in their history. You know, but we're the royals. We're the royals. We're the royal priesthoods, the sons and daughters of the king. We're a holy nation. Oh, that we were in this geographical sense. But we're the nation within the nation that needs to have an effect on the nation. We're the holiness of God is in us because of what he's done for us. He's given us his righteousness. He's transforming us. He has saved us. We're special. We're called out. We're separated for his special purposes. And we're God's special possession. Yes, he owns us. Yes, we do belong to him. I remember seeing that up on a wall once upon a time. The first part of this was belong, right? Belong. We belong to God and then to one another. Why? What's the direction of all this? Who we are, well, it takes us places. It goes somewhere. "That you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light." We declare his praises in worship, and that's what we're here to do. But then when we're out there, when we're here, wherever we are, we live it, we say it, we're declaring his praises, his glory. We represent the Lord full time. What has he done for us? We've been transitioned out of darkness. We're no longer in the dark. We live in the light. We live freely. And it's wonderful. Look at this transition. Once you were not a people. You had no bearing, no status, no privileges, no benefits. You weren't going anywhere. You were nowhere, man, to quote another old song, you know. But now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy. But now you have received mercy. What a difference. Wow, this is who you are. So another old song says, "We're the people of God, called by his name, called from the dark and delivered from shame. One holy race, saints everyone, because of the blood of Christ, Jesus the Son." It's all because of him. Who we are. Where we're going, simple, following Jesus. He loved, we love. He reached, we reach. He touched, we touch. He went, we go. He taught, we teach. He healed, we heal. Whatever he did, we do. We just follow along. wherever he goes, like his little posse. That's who we are. We follow Jesus. But we are saved for that purpose. He's done all this for us. He's made us who we are so that we may be his followers and fulfill his mission. I love the current Christian and Missionary Alliance motto. You heard President John Stumble refer to it on the video. He introduced that. First words out of his mouth when we started counsel, he says, "Welcome, Christ-centered Acts 1-8 family." Right away, reinforcing the motto. And I like to just say it a little bit different. I want to be a part of a Christ-centered family on a mission. A Christ-centered family on a mission. Small or large, we have small units, but we are larger. And it's defined by Acts 1-8, where it says, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth." And he rightly said, did you catch John when he said there are no ors in this verse? Do you see any ors up there? It's all and, right? Jerusalem and Judea. Judea and Samaria. Samaria and the world. Not or. If we're just living between one of the ors or in one of these places, we're not fulfilling the great commission. We're not part of what Jesus is doing. We're not going the direction that he wants us to go. You can't be missional. This is a word that's being used a lot, and you know, we want to be missional. Good, good, good. But what does it mean? And sometimes it's like missional gets too focused on just one aspect of the mission. No, you can't be missional unless your mission includes all the ands. May I say that? You can't really be a missional church or person unless your mission includes all the ands. Where you are, of course, your little local family and the people around you who are like you and you like them and they like you, okay, good. But then radiate a little bit. How about the people that are a lot like you, but they're not right here, they're around you, lots of them. And then further, how about the people that are not like you, they're different. They're out there, they're among us, they're around, and it's like cross-cultural, but you don't have to go very far. But then there are those that you have to go far to reach, and they're out there. Millions of them, billions of them. It's a great big world that we're part of, and it's part of our opportunity to reach them also, and them too. One of the biggest problems we had in our church in Montana was the fact that it was so beautiful, and we were encircled by wonderful mountain ranges. Everywhere you look, thank you, God, that we can live here a little while, you know? But the vision was limited because we couldn't see beyond the mountains. There was a big, wide world out there, but we just kind of like to stay here. We can't do that. We want to get out there. And we would argue that a country, a church, a family, and an individual needs to have four-level vision. And really to follow Jesus where he's going and have the proper direction. We're not talking geography necessarily, but cross-cultural also. It's here and it's around us and it's more people, not like, and then the whole, it's all going to be part of our mission. All going to be and. But what's the power? It says here that you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and all this can happen. Sometimes we misinterpret power as, oh, I get to have power, I can dominate, I can control, I can do things that are really freaky. No, wait a minute. This, and John referred to it. You heard him say, we have the capacity. We have the capacity to fulfill this great commission. We have the ability. Divine power is the ability to do what Jesus wants done. And you heard him say, he only empowers us to do what he directs us to do. He doesn't just waste his power or his authority or his ability to do stuff that, that's not my direction. I mean, there are a lot of nice, but that's not, you know. He gives us the power to do what he directs us to do, the ability of the capacity. We can do this! Essentially, it means we can do this because the Holy Spirit is filling us and controlling us and empowering us to be his witnesses. So I just ask that basic question again. Is this the ability to do or the ability to be? Is this the ability to do the effectiveness, or is this the ability, first and foremost, to be his witnesses? I see the word be there. So being comes before doing. Character is the priority before effectiveness. There was a t-shirt I ran across once upon a time, the big philosophical debate between Plato and Aristotle. And what was it? Plato said that being is the thing, you know, BBB. And Aristotle said, you know, you got to get practical with all these, and it's the results. It's the do. And the rest of the t-shirt says, well, I agree with Frank Sinatra instead, dooby-dooby-doo. All right. You may not even remember Frank Sinatra, but that was one of his songs. Sorry, dooby-dooby-doo. Anyhow, being precedes doing. It's got to be both. It's got to be both, but being precedes doing. How are you? Do you know who you are? And if you do, then you're going to get a great sense of where you're going with Christ. When I was serving there in the Alliance Northwest District in Oregon, three different churches out there, we had a motto of our own that I emphasized a lot for those folks: courageously following Jesus in the world as family. A takeoff on the national motto, but I love that. Courageously following Jesus in the world. Not isolated from it, not apart from it, but part of it. We're still holy, but we're out there. Courageously following Jesus in the world as family. This is who we are, and this is where we're going. The last church I served, the Green Community Church, their motto was fourfold. It was believe, belong, be trained, be strong. Believe, belong, be trained, and be strong. Courageously following Jesus in the world. And all these models are wonderful. It still comes down to one of the most basic ones for my life, any church, our denomination. Love God. Care for one another. All the one another's. And reach the world for Jesus. This is who we are. And this is where we're going. All of this is indicative of direction. And one word, it's forward. Forward. Following Jesus for the adventure of living with and for him. Pressing on to take hold of all that he has in mind for us. Can we pray? Thank you, Lord, for taking us along for the adventures. What a journey it is to follow you. Great places in this world. Great people all around us. And you love them. And how much you love us that you would include us on your mission. You could have done this all yourself. You could have stones declare your praises. But you have chosen us to be with you, to be like you, to receive your love, your joy, your peace, your salvation, your forgiveness, your awesome grace and mercy, and then to share that, to live that. What a privilege, Lord, to join you in your work in this world. And we do it together, and we have your power. What a privilege, Lord. So we thank you, and we do just declare your praises as we close the day. And in all of it, Lord, we declare we do not have the ability, the capacity on our own to do this. We need you, Lord. So that's our prayer in your name.
And let's stand and sing together, Lord, I Need You, as we prepare to leave this morning.
Lord, I come, I confess, bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, righteousness. Oh God, how I need you. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you yes, where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Yes, we do. Keep praying that every day. And then may the grace and the mercy, the power, the capacity, the ability, the love, the joy, everything that Christ has to give you be with you both now and forevermore. God bless you. Amen.